This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Philip. We're taking a look at EPF. So the Employees Provident Fund, which is EPF, in its latest findings reported that a majority of its members in the low and middle income groups are likely to live in poverty in old age unless mitigation measures are taken. Up to 46% of EPF members below the age of 55 have less than 10,000 ringgit in their account.
The fund also stated that the members' basic savings threshold, which is about 240,000 at age 55, recorded a drop from 36% to 27% as a result of the COVID-19 related withdrawals to supplement their incomes during the crisis. Now, CEO Dato' Sri Amir Hamza Azizan said the pandemic has also triggered a dramatic rise in the number of gig workers in the country. And while that has helped workers survive, many of these workers are falling back or failing on their retirement security.
So what will be the long-term impact if this trend continues? And what kind of, are we going to have to take drastic measures to rectify the situation? For more on this, we have with us business commentator Pankaj C. Kumar. Good morning, Pankaj. Always good to have you. So EPF has revealed some startling figures as to the savings of its members. But as the economy recovers, what policies could be put in place to encourage a rebuilding of savings? Do you think that raising the employee contribution rate from the current 9% to a higher level is a good solution, or do you have other options on the table, do you think?
Thanks, Shazana, Xiaoning and Philip for having me on the show, and a very good morning to all listeners. Yes, you're right. With the various withdrawal schemes that were announced since last year, Malaysia have actually withdrawn almost 100 billion ringgit from the fund. Some are yet to be drawn down, although they have been approved. The withdrawal, if measured against the size of asset under management of the EPF, it's actually slightly more than 10%. So it's quite huge. Yeah. Naturally, those who have withdrawn, as the statistics have been shared by the EPF, it has left many members practically living next to nothing in their retirement. So the question whether how can we rebuild this depleted funds, while there have been suggestions that perhaps we could raise the contribution level, because previously we used to have 11% for employee. So we could perhaps go back from 9 to 11%. That could be one move. The other move is, of course, for employers' contribution too, to be increased from 12 to perhaps maybe 14%. But all these has a cost. Yeah? And the cost, based on the current scenario that we are in, may not be that acceptable, because it will increase the cost of doing business for companies. And for employees, they take home lesser pay. Based on the current pay they have. So the actual answer is actually related to structural issue that we have, which I often talked about, basically our low wage structure, as we are not paying enough our workers. We need to raise our workers' salary. If that to happen, then naturally, when you have whether 9 or 11% contribution, you'll be saving more in your EPF compared to if your wages are stuck at a low level.
But the other thing that we have noticed, of course, is the changing nature of work. And many Malaysians now do not actually contribute to EPF at all because more take on informal or freelance work. So, Panka, should we relook at the legislation and make it compulsory for them?
Yeah, you are right, Johnny. The labour market today is very different than what it used to be 10, 20 years ago. The days of being employed with a salary is fast becoming less of a trend as we see the emergence of more freelance status workers, as well as gig workers. Even if you take the statistics from the Labour Department, from the Department of Statistics, you will see that actually only about half of employed persons are actually EPF contributors. So there is EPF is not able to capture the whole workforce of Malaysians so that they can contribute to the EPF. So one way is to make all sort of compensation schemes be it ad hoc payments, commissions, fee for services rendered, to have an element of compulsory EPF contribution from both the employer and the employee, as this will help them to rebuild their retirement fund.
Yeah, so I think what you're saying is, like, for example, the housewife, right, where they try to get them to basically contribute. But let's shift attention to withdrawals, because we're seeing a lot of people also withdraw their savings at 55. So should we consider the approach at the Singapore equivalent, which is the Central Provident Fund Board, which only allows withdrawals from certain accounts, or perhaps even raising the age of withdrawals to be in tandem with the retirement age, which is 60, to promote a lifetime income security then?
Yeah, I think the government would have no choice but to do so to help retirees to build up their retirement nest, although the thinking prior to the pandemic is to maintain the age 55 withdrawal rule. Yeah, so for existing members, we should enhance perhaps the EPF account 1 and account 2, which have been used for various schemes, and build up a truly untouchable retirement fund. Yeah, we should re-designate either of the accounts as untouchable until a member achieves the age of 55 or 60, if the age is raised later on. This was the case for account one, but some of the schemes that were introduced due to pandemic had encroached into account one, leaving some members high and dry. So what I would think is that we should also perhaps look at withdrawal schemes at the age of 55, as allowing members to withdraw everything seems to have failed, as statistics have shown that member exhaust their withdrawals rather quickly. In fact, I think the statistics shows that it's only a couple of years the most. Hence, one of the ways to address this is to allow a hybrid withdrawal method. So let's say 50-50, where you can withdraw half the amount and the other half goes into an annuity scheme, allowing members to withdraw funds on a monthly or quarterly basis for them to meet their post-retirement expenses.
Meanwhile, we do hear that some have concerns over their EPF savings. I mean, how can we address this trust deficit so that members, will continue to contribute or even maybe even top up their savings?
Yeah, Xiaoning, I think some members have that issue after all. Yeah, we can't expect everyone to have the same view as the majority. I think if we look back over time, EPF has proven time and again its ability to provide not only a reasonable rate of return to its members, but one that even beats the fund managers easily. So hence the trust deficit, I believe, is relatively small. I think EPF has delivered very good returns for its members, and that speaks volume, no matter how much some have issues related to trust in relation to EPF.
And zooming out to this holistic approach towards encouraging Malaysians to consider their retirement savings, what do you think should be our first step? Should we maybe look to embed financial literacy as part of the school curriculum?
Well, Shazana, I think that's a bigger story in terms of how we teach our youngs. I think we should start them young and teach them about money and finance. How money grows, what is good investment or bad investment, what is good debt or what is bad debt, how do we build up funds required for our life journeys, from education to healthcare to retirement, starting a family, our indulgences, holiday, and most important, the power of compounding interest. I think financial literacy is a very important subject matter that ought to be taught at a very young age. Young people, when they come to the workforce, they realize the value of money and are able to set aside what is required for their future needs and benefits. So instead of just learning the core subjects, we should teach them financial literacy so that they are well prepared for the real world.
Pankaj, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was business commentator Pankaj C. Kumar talking to us about EPF and how we can rebuild the depleted savings as people have withdrawn funds during the pandemic.
Shocking. I'm just stunned because more than 10% of the net asset value of EPF has been withdrawn in the last few months. And the data is very sobering when you think that so few households have enough to last them when they retire. And this threshold, if you ask me, 240,000 is probably a low one, because with inflation, it's not going to be enough. And people are living longer and longer. And this morning we did ask on a poll, what policy measures would help you rebuild your EPF retirement savings? And 45% actually say better financial literacy. So yeah, maybe it should be a core subject in school.
I mean, the issue here is, look, there are two solutions. Either you increase the contributions, either through government supporting, improve your waivers, or you limit the withdrawals, which is very painful.
Or the golden question, raise wages, which is to have higher productivity jobs, but that's a structural issue that Malaysia faces.
That's right. And we will be looking at that issue moving forward as well. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.